Now, we hope to go up until latest 3 o'clock. But if we finish earlier, that's fine. Well, this is our first meeting since we last met in Sun City for the APEC conference, and I think it's only proper to formally inform the committee that one of us, Comrade Kuno, is now the Makulubas of APEC. She is now the chairperson of the Association of Public Accounts Committee. Congratulations. You are there on our behalf. And also in the executive, Comrade Nyami Boy, who apparently is in a meeting elsewhere. The two of them serve in the executive of APEC. Well, you recall that the last session we had with which was led by the Office of the Auditor General, was to review the strat plan. And we only did a part of the task, which was to reconfirm or to reshape the strategic objectives of the committee. And we had agreed that we need to complete the strat plan, which should last us for the entire period of the fifth parliament. And as always, we have requested the Office of the Auditor General to come and facilitate the process. We would have, initially our objective plan was to do it outside Parliament and maybe have a day and a half. Unfortunately, if we look at the program of Parliament, it just is not possible. And the best we could do creatively was to say, if we don't make it, if we don't finish today, we should then finalize everything next week Tuesday. But hopefully if we finish today, then we'll have to see what we do with Tuesday. But then Wednesday, I think it will be that important briefing by the Auditor General on the audit outcomes, which would assist us in now deciding which departments or entities do we want to start with. Because then we'll have had a complete picture of everything. So I'll hand over to the AG's office. Will be led by Ms. Tandeka Zondi. This sounds very much KZN-ish. The corporate executive responsible for strategic projects and outreach programs. We could not have got a more relevant and appropriate person. Strategic projects and outreach programs. So, nizawunikela kunike, and then we'll be completely in your hands in terms of how we go about it up until the time we're done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, everyone. I trust that everyone is well, and we are going to hopefully go as far as possible and have a robust conversation so that we can actually create the strat plan that you want, ultimately that will help you deliver on your own mandate and achieve the objectives that you want to achieve. I'm sure you know Sianda. He's a regular at Scopa, so I don't think there's a need to introduce. So what I thought I'll do is to just do a gentle reminder on what we agreed were the attributes of an effective oversight committee when you were having the session with the DAG. And if you can just put it up, no, just go to the same slide. Just make it presentation format. Move here. Yeah, thanks. I thought it might be useful to just capture what we thought, I think what was agreed from the various sources that we had, the attributes of an effective oversight committee. And that was really around ensuring that there's adequate powers, functions, and enough time to meet. And I think already this is something I think we're already living in terms of the amount of time you're allocating to just thinking about the strat plan. Capacity building of members and continuity of membership. Competent secretariat and professional support. The annual oversight objectives. Effective planning structures. Innovative oversight practices and oversight inspections. Constructive working relationship amongst members. Reliance on assurance role providers such as the Auditor General and the Audit Committee, positive relations with media and other stakeholders, executive authority support and accounting officer cooperation, and self-assessment by the committee or monitoring evaluation of all committees by Speaker's Office. If you look at this, I think this kind of captures really where we're trying to get to ultimately as an oversight body. And I think it's something that is not uniquely for SCOPA in particular, but I think for all the oversight structures in Parliament and in the various legislatures, this is really the things that we believe, and I think it's supported by APAC and the other various sources, to be the best practice for a strong SCOPA. So the last time we agreed on these, and then we moved on to say, well, should we, if we agree on these things, how do we then align our objectives to these attributes? So the objectives that were agreed upon going forward, this is supposed to be 2014-19, we agreed on five principles as four of our objectives. I'm really just recapping what was here in the last meeting, so please stop me if I'm recapturing the agreement wrong. So the agreement was, we want to have improved cooperation with oversight committees. There was great debate around what that meant, and I think part of the conversation today is to say, how do we unpack each of these things a bit further so we can start to measure our impact around those. The second core objective we agreed was the enhancing the cooperation of the executive and accounting officers with SCOPA. The third one, we agreed to improve understanding of the public of the work of SCOPA. And underneath it, we kind of outlined what we meant on the principles underpinning that very broad objective. And those are really around the role of the chairperson in engaging with media around SCOPA activities to ensure, again, a seamless message. The drive of the understanding of SCOPA work using tools such as social media and really partnering with Parliament's own communication capacity to help us deliver on those on that objective. I mean, I think here we went a little bit further than just leaving it as an objective. The fourth one we agreed on was to enhance the effectiveness of oversight by SCOPA. And here a lot of conversation was around how do we then follow up and develop or create effective SCOPA resolutions that will result in really an impact. And I think that was a big chunk of what was the work we were looking at there. And then the second area was around the coordination and the effectiveness of oversight visits. There was a general acknowledgement that oversight visits were a good thing, but what I think the general principle was to say, how do we really get the coordination right and enhance the effectiveness of those oversight visits so they don't just become another visit? So, and then the last one was really considering all annual reports that are tabled. So these were core objectives that we said, okay, this is what we agree on as a journey to start delivering on these attributes of an oversight executive. What we then took upon ourselves to prepare really for this session, but also to close off the last session, is to match the attributes to the core objectives that you agreed on, so that we have a good sense, and I suppose for yourselves, for us to start here to discuss whether, one, A, do we agree with the linkage between the attribute and the core objective that we've agreed? Should something move, is it not a great fit? Because this is the way we're hoping to start channeling so that when you look at your strat planning at the end, you're able to see how it links back to the core objectives of an effective oversight committee. And that's the journey we are trying to walk with you. So I think really if we start with the first one, is talking around competent secretariat and professional support. And this is really the support from a research and a legal perspective. is a core objective that we thought most spoke to the attributes from our perspective was the improved cooperation with oversight committees, the enhancing the effectiveness of oversight by SCOPA, and considering all annual reports that are tabled. And I think at this point, I'd like us to just probably engage in each one to say, are you comfortable? And also ask the questions of how we got there, because some of it really is, there may be assumptions that we have made that are not necessarily true, but I think as SCOPA, you're able to then put a lot more meat to it to say, actually, no, that's not what we expect. So maybe to kick off the conversation, our key essence here was to say, well, a competent secretary to professional support is able to give you a good summary, a good sense of what is sitting in these reports, what is key, so that you are able to then, when you make the choices of which departments to see, you are able to make that call appropriately. Secretariat is also responsible for ensuring that your oversight, other oversight structures, such as the AGSA, such as audit committees, they create time for them to engage with yourselves so that you also have a better sense of what has been happening from the assurance provider side. So that when you do engage with the departments, you've got a balanced view of what the AG has seen and what the audit committee has seen and what also National Treasury has seen and in some cases what public service has seen so that you're able to consolidate all that level of information. And that's something that we see a competent secretary being able to do is coordinate all the sources of information for SCOPA so that you are sitting with adequate and sufficient information to do a very rigorous engagement with the respective auditees or I suppose for yourselves the departments that are in place, the executive. So that's where we were coming from with it, and I suppose at this point this is where we can just really open the floor to discuss, A, do we agree? To what do we think we need to add on, because this will help us start unpacking the next step as well.
Very much in agreement with everything you said so far. Just the only thing that concerns me, and please forgive me if I'm inexperienced and I'm going to pick this up later, but in our first group meetings we were advised by the staff, by the secretariat, which departments experienced the most problems, and therefore they were prioritized and they were split up between us for attention. We never received, now if the researchers in the secretariat are going through all the departments and are prioritizing which ones are most problematic, it would be nice to have those research notes shared with us. Because effectively we walked into a room and we were just told, these are the problematic departments, listed 1 to 5, or whatever the case may be. But if the researchers are taking or making the effort of actually going through each report and coming up with findings that lead to their determination that these are the priority departments and these ones aren't, it would be nice to receive a document saying, look, we've looked at all the reports, these are our notes, these are our findings, and that's why we're prioritizing certain departments. We obviously are going to go through all the reports ourselves, but in collaboration with the researchers, why not? They might see things we don't, we might see things they don't. And then obviously we'll also liaise with all the relevant departments and our colleagues who are portfolio committee holders in those departments and get a really full picture of what's going on. So I think that would be nice. So maybe change that last one to consider all annual reports that are tabled and communicate this to SCOPA committee members or something like that.
Can I make an input on that one? I think consider all. I'm trying to look for the sentence so that I consider all annual reports that are tabled. I think in terms of the mandate of the committee, that remains the responsibility of the committee. The secretariat, including research, They are merely enabling tools for the committee to do its work. And from what the honourable member have said, I think it's more, we just need to tighten the application. At the end of the day, in the group, the decision on which department or entity to prioritize is a political decision that members must make. It is not a submission that the researchers give to the committee. So what they might have presented is information that we must consider, but ultimately we must make the decision and be satisfied based on what we would have ourselves checked. Meaning therefore that since all members have been allocated departments and entities, members must still on their own report their own findings. Whatever the researchers might have found is there to just assist the process. So I think that from where I'm standing, I think it is maybe more how it came about than take away from members the right to decide which to prioritize. So I think in that sense, therefore, the statement as it stands is fine. How we make it happen, I think that's where we still need to try and find a balance.
This is kind of an informal discussion, so we're just going to come in and out as we
I'm happy with what's there, but I think that what is not there is the need for researchers to do the kind of thing that I think the chair is referring to. For instance, if there's something that we're not sure about, to ask for research to be done on a particular aspect, and that doesn't seem to come through there. It's sort of limited to the annual reports, but there might be something in an annual report that we need additional information on. And so I would like to see that as being a possible objective there. And it's interesting, and I think it's right, but it's interesting that the objectives don't take into account pieces of paper being distributed and other things which are just standard functions of a secretariat. And I think it's right that that is assumed to be in place without us having to put it into objectives. So, thanks.
Thank you. Chair, I'd just like to clarify what I was saying, and I was actually trying to pay credit to the researchers. I'm not for a second saying that we mustn't decide which departments we're going to interview. What I'm saying is we have researchers on the committee who I'm assuming are appointed to be researchers because they have experience in being researchers and have experience in these matters. If they've done research on the different departments and they've made notes and findings, why not share it with us? So that we have that as a source of information, we have our own work as a source of information, and then we put together a complete picture. That's all I'm saying. Let's have the input from as many different sources as possible. But of course, it is our prerogative, first of all, to choose, and secondly, I'm not abrogating any responsibility to do our work. Obviously, we need to do our work. I'm just saying let's give credit to our researchers and get their reports, get their input.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, colleagues. I think the issue of research is very, very important, but it's also important after the fact that after we have identified those departments that we're going to investigate or interrogate, and from time to time we're going to be requiring information, and I would imagine that the correct thing to do is then to get that information as professional support from the research team. All relevant information, you know, we may want to find out registration of a company and who the directors are, or we may want need to do this. That, my understanding is, will all come from the research team and the professional support that we would be getting. Am I correct in it?
Can I? Yes. What we normally do as the research team is we go through annual reports that members go through, and we highlight the issues. But this year, when the groups met, that was before the 2013-14 financial year was finished. So that information was not available then. But for now, what we are doing is we are currently busy with that information. And what we are doing, because most members are new, we want to look at the trend. So we are not looking at 13-14 only, but we are looking at the trend, what has been happening in the last financial, in the last 5 years, so that members have a clear understanding of how these departments are performing. When that information is finished, it will be made available to members.
Okay. Sorry, I saw the two hands close. Just to help matters along, which I'm really liking the conversation, is I'd like us, because we've agreed on the core objectives, because if we add it onto the core objectives column, some of the things that we're talking about now, we'll be reopening the conversation around the five core objectives. What I'm taking a lot of the conversation is we are starting to build on this level the strategic objectives of each level. So, and I think that's what I'm trying to aim for. So Sandra's going to try, where possible, to do it electronically, but it may not be accurate. But we are, so that we can build the strategic objectives as we're talking about each one. So far what I've kind of captured as a strategic objective is really just building a capable and responsive research unit as part of a strategic objective that lives in there. And a lot of it, I'm not sure, I think maybe building may not be the right word, because I think it's there, but I think let's work on either enhancing the research capability and responsiveness so that you are able to get the kind of research that you are asking for as we craft activities in the next step. So right now, it's just really, let's say, what are the strategic objectives that we think will pin? So there's really two things. Do we agree that the core objectives being linked to the attribute is correct? And if we do agree, let's start talking on the strategic objectives now that will underpin that grouping. Is that an okay way to move forward? Honourable Member, you have your hand up.
Forward, and now we are pointing at me to take us back where we were.
I was hoping you won't say anything.
No, I just wanted to support the Honourable Member over there. You know, justice, because it deals with a lot of entities, they have a smooth way of running. The researchers summarizes every department for members before the department even comes. So we have our own internal discussion on that department. By the time they come with their huge reports, you have received the summary and a presentation of it from your researcher. But it doesn't take away the responsibility for you to read it. It just makes it easy, because they will even tell you, look at the following when you read it. So I think because we also deal with many departments across the board, it would be better for our researchers if they could do that. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks. I'm a very practical person, and I'm not sure where to place this one. But we need to do justice when it comes to audit outcomes and the financial reports and whatever. And I think one thing that is not there, that is lacking, is working together with a particular committee should we have problems. Because you'll find that the audit outcome, as you read it, it's not going to make sense. You know, just adding on what she has said, yesterday I had a box full of documents, you know, to read for this, and I was asking myself, how are we going to be effective? Are we just giving these documents to read and, you know, summarize and all that? But at the end of the day, what is the main thing that we have that has to come out of those documents? So I was just saying that I don't know where to place it, but I think at some stage, I know maybe there's not been a practice, Comrade Godi, in the past, but I think we need to have a way of working with other committees. You know, for instance, I'm dealing with transport. Should I have a lot of questions, maybe interact with the members there and get the way forward? Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to, not to go into your form, but I think it may be useful moving forward is that the researchers give us a brief on exactly what they can do for us. For instance, can we get, as my colleague here said, can we get director company details, director details, etc., etc.? Can you help with it? Can't you? Just a bit of a briefing, maybe a one-pager sent to all the members, just allowing, just telling us what you are able to actually assist us with, so that we know where to go when we have those help. Outside of our own work, obviously. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I've captured, I think, the cooperation oversight committees that I think you're raising quite vividly, as well as really a better understanding of what the research unit can provide. And I think probably as a, I suppose as an activity, as captured there is, I think we need to, A, have a clear documented understanding of the researchers' capabilities and roles and responsibilities, so that SCOPA members understand what is possible and what's not possible. Because I think that's coming out quite clearly, that there needs to be a common understanding of what the team can do. And also a sense of how long would it take to do some of these things. Because I understand, I'm not sure if you've got the capacity to deal with 6 requests at the same time. But it's just a clear understanding of what their capacity is. Because I think that becomes a really core thing for SCOPA to really engage with and understand and sign off as we are comfortable with the role of our researchers here. The second thing that I think that we need to look at as part of the activities, and it's weird because when I develop a strategic objective after the activity, is we need to have a common practice of how do we do research notes, when do we get them, how do we discuss them, what are the pointers, the structure. So it's almost like a structure of the briefing document that members can expect for the various departments. Because I think that allows all members to at least engage on, we are comfortable with what we are getting, there's a consistency on what you will get, and also a matching of the members' responsibility should they need to want to go further in. And part of the briefing doc should outline which other committee has dealt with the same issue, so that members know from the get-go, from their briefing document, which potential committees should they want to cooperate with in, to be able to get more information out of this. So I'm not sure if we are comfortable with saying as it really 2 main activities, roles and responsibilities of research unit, and 2, strategic objectives, and 2, developing a briefing doc template that will allow members or give members an opportunity to understand a brief summary of what's going on, who has worked with it, what are the risks that we need to look out for, and where can we find sources of such information if you're looking for additional information. And I mean, I think in the sources, it'll be other committees, which assurance providers, so you'll know if there's been an SIU report, you'll know if there's an investigation by someone else, if the Auditor General has looked at this thing in particular, etc. So a briefing document that covers, that has those headings, so that it's automatic that it's filled in or not filled in. So for me, I think, are we comfortable with those strategic objectives so we can, as well, really driving that attribute properly?
I'm quite happy with them, but what I don't want to do for us to reinvent the wheel. Researchers have been doing these briefing documents for years, and the chair's been around for years. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time starting from scratch and saying this is what I want to, what is the current, and let's say that's okay, let's move on, rather than start from scratch on these things.
If I can respond to some of the concerns that have come out. Before the committee meets any department or any entity, as a researcher, I prepare a document. So I do a thorough analysis of the annual report of the department, including additional information. So, for example, if there was an investigation in that department, I look for those documents and I make them available to members. Sometimes we even go to the extent, there was one department where there was an issue with contracts. We even went to the extent of looking for those companies who were getting contracts for that from the department, and we looked at the directors in those companies. So our information is not only limited to the annual report. Every information that we can get on a certain department, we make it available to members. Sometimes we even go to the extent of looking at the minutes of the portfolio committees so that we don't reinvent the wheel. And departments do not come and tell us a different story to what they told the portfolio committee. So all that information, we make it available to members before the committee engage with departments and entities.
One quick question. How well resourced are you in terms of going to that extensive need to go and investigate? Because I found that with limited resources, there's very little or not much that can be done, and a lot of information is based especially from the AG's office, is based on just documentation. And I'll give you an example. When somebody says, well, at the end of the day, there was irregular expenditure, yes, fine, but there was value for money. My argument, it's not necessarily value for money, because that contract may not have been necessary. So whether there's value for money there, but was it necessary? It was not necessary to spend that money. So how well resourced are you to go to that extent to be able to go a lot deeper into getting information, you know, because from my experience, a lot of people are getting away with that. A lot of people are getting away with that.
Okay. Honourable members, just to help the conversation along, and I've noted the query, I think that's probably the reason why I think it becomes important for the research group to be able to outline for you what it is that they're able to do. So that I think when they outline that, they'll also be able to say, this we cannot do, and they cannot do it, is it either a limitation of the role or a capacity issue. Then it's something that you are then discussing further, because there's some areas, so we are also able to identify those areas that are actually not in the ambit of the researchers to find out. So I think that becomes, because we're going to do a chicken and the egg a little bit. So I think, Honourable Member, I think, raised the point. These things exist. What, for me, I get a sense is that they may need to be shared again, just to make sure that all the members are on the same page. The briefing doc as well is to just make sure that every member is still comfortable with all of it and what needs to be added as things have changed over time, and what members think it's not necessary for them and what is necessary for them. But bringing in, you know, just really just reconfirming what exists, but not really recreating, doing a whole research angle on this thing. So I think that for me becomes a big important thing, because then, one, you are able to have a very clear performance criteria that you measure your support structure in. When you are feeding back on the quality of support you receive, you've got a very clear terms of reference of, this is what we agreed we will get, this is what we have received, the timeliness factor, the quality of the document factor. You are able to measure those things against something we've all agreed and what exists. Is that a good way to move forward? Fantastic. Honourable Kuna, I think we have not lost sight of the cooperation with other oversight committees. I do think, in addition to what we exist in the briefing documents, there needs to be probably a mechanism that we need to look at as we're going through some of these core objectives of just being able to figure out how do we tighten up that loop, because I think it is a very important loop that we need to tighten up. So I think as we go down, I'm taking note of it, and if we do not get to address it, we're going to have to look at it as a separate item.
Can I just quickly come in question is, I think there was another interesting aspect that came
out of that one, because some of us sit on two committees. Now there's a cooperation with other committees and there's an involvement in other committees. And what we're concentrating on, quite rightly, is cooperation. But the Justice Committee, we might have something that honourable member can actually take into the committee. And I don't know whether it's relevant for this discussion, but that was the impression I got from Honourable Kona, that she was on transport, and that, you know, maybe there was a way of using that connection to the benefit of this committee. But the oversight, I absolutely agree with you.
I think that point is captured quite well.
Looking backwards, I think that's actually a new point that you are making about how do we use information that members of this committee who serve in other committees claim. Because if you look at what is here, it's committee to committee kind of relations, because in the past, usually members of this committee did not serve in other committees, so the relationship had to be committee to committee. But now, with a situation where individual members serve in other committees, how do we use the information that they as individual members glean from the committees that they serve to assist the committee? Safe to say that, lastly, I'm not an empiricist. I don't want to use my experience narrow and then, but in talking about cooperation with other committees, and I'm sure we'll deal with, I just want to say our experience so far is that we've really had some problems, because people who come from other committees, especially chairpersons, come to our hearings and start to lead the defense of departments. So they use the platform of the committee to try and help us understand why the department did ABCD. So it then defeats the purpose. But I'm just saying it's something we need to put at the back of our mind and say, when we enter into that realm, how do we manage that so that we have a common objective?
Now, Chair, I think the point that the chairperson is raising is very important, because the danger with that is it might compromise the capacity of this committee. And we need to find a strategic way that is of, if we are to cooperate with other, obviously we'll have to at some stage cooperate. But if, for instance, let me use a hypothetical example. Let me say I'm serving in Committee A, and Committee A is, expected to appear in front of this committee. And I use, that is the experience in that committee, or some of our members are saying, for instance, Honorable Kekana knows that is the issues. You see, it defeats even the objective that is from this committee. But I think in us that is dealing with it, we definitely need to find a very strategic, that is, way of dealing with that issue.
Thank you, members. Given that you haven't given me free reign over you, the more the concession goes, I think I might need to just change tact in the approach, because I have a feeling we'll keep moving around a little bit. The one thing that has come out that I want your express approval in, if you go back to the core objectives, the table, this. Is the one thing that's come out quiet, and we've spoken a lot, and I've been scanning at the core objectives. And in our core objectives, we really hadn't written a very strong objective around strengthening our support. And from the conversation we've had, possibly one of the things that we may want to do somewhere else is just for this SCOPA, not necessarily because it is a role of SCOPA, but is we've identified strengthening our support and secretariat as an important objective. is probably putting it here as an objective, so that when we go back and we start crafting it, the actions, the activities that we speak about fall directly into the core objective that we've agreed on, so that it just flows nicely. Because I think the other one was really connecting it to the attributes, but I think it's raised other issues that I think we may have not thought about at the time when we look, when we finalized our core objectives. So really, it's just to get your thinking, if you're comfortable in us really looking at crafting an additional core objective around strengthening the capacity or enhancing the capacity and capabilities of our corporate, of our secretariat and research unit. Well, I'm thinking of a sentence. I'll find it.
Unless, of course, I have some bit of limitation. The strengthening of our secretariat, it's something that happens outside us in terms of our subjective effort. I think if we go to, maybe if we can take that to the strategic objective in terms of when we talk about improving, either improving the quality of follow-ups and resolutions and whatever, then we can then unpack it at that level, because it's something that is not dependent on what we can do as a committee.
I think that's really great. So with that allowance, I'd like us to actually go through each core objective, because I think the kind of conversation we've had, I think it becomes important to go do a sub-bullet under each one and craft clearly what the strategic objective under each one is. Because I think we are fairly comfortable with the fact that these objectives cover our attributes. Now we need to get into what is the strategic objectives of it. Because I think other issues have come out as we're just trying to match the attributes, that I think we probably can skip that part altogether and move directly to the strategic objectives. Is everyone comfortable with that? Thank you.
I'm sorry if I'm out of order. Can I take you back a little bit? I'm just thinking of what the two comrades have talked about when we talked about cooperating with other committees. I didn't want to say anything, but this is for Simi. I remember last time, Appropriations Committee, for instance, went to Limpopo for an oversight. But they left the committee behind. So the question and the problem that we had then was that the resolutions that they are taking, are they going to be effective when it comes to before the committee? Because the committee at the end of the day deals with a particular thing, you know, this department, as opposed to your appropriations and SCOPA and all that, when we deal with all the departments and all that. So we are not going to be effective enough, because the committee, I'm not in any other committee except for multi-party women's caucus. I'll make an example again about transport, which is one of the departments that I'm dealing with in our group. There is a committee of transport that deals with transport and its entities on daily basis, and they will have more information than we would have here. I agree with Comrade Godi. He is correct. People will feel that you are in their territory. They'll find a way of being defensive and all that. So I'm just saying that, and there's a way, if you look at the Rules Committee and the Constitution, it tells you exactly what the committee is supposed to be dealing with and all that. So I'm just saying that for us to be effective, for instance, because at the end of the day, we want the audit outcome to be good for each and every department. That's the objective of each and every member of parliament. For us to be effective and to make sure that whatever that we resolve here is implemented, is to cooperate with other committees, but in a way that we don't, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, thanks.
I think, Honourable Kuno, I think you've really entered into the first objective.
where we are starting, saying let's really talk about crafting the sentence, that the right objectives under it, because it is a noble notion, it's an important notion, but it also is a notion that we need to have a very strategic intent in how we're going to really drive the cooperation. What do we want to get out of it, and how do we want to go about it? And I guess this is where you need to, you know, as you started off saying, we're trying to do a sharing of information. How do we facilitate a sharing of information? You may not necessarily, you know, and how do we drive that in a manner that people do not feel as if you are overstepping your own boundary? How do we balance that? And I think that's where we need to start finding out the action.
You know, obviously we're going to work with other committees. We may even work with other provincial scope of committees. We may touch base. But I think at the end of the day, we cannot, as SCOPA, be seen to be walking around on eggshells, because we may offend the sensibilities of some of our colleagues in other committees. Our job is effective oversight. And if we're going to put the noses out of joint of some of our colleagues on other committees, well, then I'm terribly sorry. But, you know, we cannot be, we are the final bulwark, as it were. We are the final oversight committee. And I think we need to be very bold. So I think that we can say that we can share information with other committees, but we must retain our independence to make sure that we are the final oversight of government function. But we cannot work around the eggshells at all.
Can I pose a question? I mean, what is the role of, and I think Chairperson, you probably can help here, the role of the chairs of chairs engagement in the meetings? Because my gut feel says that probably is the best place for us to start in terms of A, aligning our programs, sharing our focus areas and why we're sharing, why we're going to focus on different things, and agreeing on a way forward. Are we comfortable that we are clear on the sharing of what it is that we want, or we're trying to get out of the chair of chairs engagement? Because I think that's probably the best place to start, instead of trying to randomly go to a committee.
This one from the chair. I think you are probably right. Honourable members, I think the Rule 208 of the National Assembly Rules makes a provision for cooperation of committees. I think there it says, if a matter that is dealt with SCOPA affects Committee X, there must be a collaboration between those committees. I think what seems to be a limitation in my understanding of years of working in this environment is that there hasn't been an enforcement of that particular rule clearly. And centrally, it's supposed to be played correctly, so the role by the House Chairperson in terms of ensuring that that which is supposed to happen is actually done. Remember as well, members, is that all committee programs are approved by the House Chairperson, meaning if you can see that this particular matter falling on a defense committee is being dealt with at SCOPA in a particular time, he may want to decline a particular sitting of a particular committee and foster that kind of cooperation. But I understand as well there are quite system issues, process issues, which are causing a limitation. I don't want to speak on his behalf as to why that is not the case, but clearly there is a clear provision in terms of fostering cooperation, but it has to happen at a coordinated House Chairperson's level.
All right, I'm not sure if I'm going to help. I'm going to give a speech, and then you're going to pick up the tidbits that will assist us in dealing with this matter. Firstly, I think there are three committees that are overarching. Finance, transversal. Finance, appropriations, and SCOPA. Now, meaning, therefore, that the other committees, how do they tap into the work that we do? Because we deal with everything. As they deal with whatever department they are dealing with, to what extent is the work of these three committees used to enhance their work? That's number one. Number two, what has been the practice in SCOPA has been that whenever we have hearings, if we are calling transport department,
will write to the chairperson or the committee on transport to say we're having a hearing, can you come and be part? And they are allowed to participate, but in a structured way. We will allow the person who has the focus area to ask his or her questions, and then when there are follow-ups, they are also allowed to, you know, to participate. And I think that's where sometimes that's where you have the problem, chairpersons coming in to start explaining things beyond assisting oversight and seeking answers. And I think Mr. Sagi is right. The house chairperson, because he's the boss of all of us, we work under him. My little experience has been that there are certain committees where you'd invite them, they either will not come, or you'll have one or two people, or the chairperson is busy, has sent someone who sits there and just observe what is happening. So the actual substantive cooperation and participation is not there. It is not structured. It is not, there is no driver to get that process going, you know. And you sometimes you have sibling rivalry. You think you're a super committee, all this, that. So you find that it sometimes impedes cooperation where it's supposed to be. So I do think that the committee of chairpersons, theoretically, that's supposed to be the starting point. But I think in most instances when we engage about, I don't remember us looking at that aspect in our engagements. I think we have a whole host of other things that we deal with, but I don't think that has come through. So you lack a driver, because the other chairpersons, I'm just like them, we're at the same level. Mm. And whatever I may say might not. Safe to say that at least appropriations, I've already had a meeting with the chairperson. He initiated the meeting to say he thinks we need to cooperate, because they deal with current, we deal with post-fact. How do we? So those kind of initiatives, I think they need to be driven, but I think there is that lack of a drive, which would also inform how, when we interact, things get done. Also, when we have oversight visits, especially when the AG has done some performance audit, say on the building of clinics or schools or this and that, it will be appropriate. But like he indicated, as a committee, we have a life of our own and a mandate of our own, which we must implement irrespective. The need to cooperate must not... what is the word? We must not become frozen, because the other committee is not there. And one experience with one report on mining, our joint meeting actually messed up the whole report. It just messed. So I'm just saying there are those things at a conceptual level, but also in terms of at the practical level. I'm sure comrades, they will lift up what might be useful to assist the discussion.
I hope I will articulate what I am understanding in my head. I think, although we are all oversight committees, but I place a greater responsibility on SCOPA. And I can tell you up front, sitting in two committees, that I don't know if it's a brief that chairpersons are given. I honestly do not know. Because there isn't much oversight in these committees other than defending the department and upholding a history of good governance. You know, it's almost like people are trying to prove that things are working, whether they are working or not. It's irrespective. So while there's a need to cooperate, I think sitting here, I wouldn't place much importance on it. Where that cooperation works, it will work. Where it doesn't, I think it will just carry on. But I think we have a greater responsibility. Yes, because if there wasn't a need for SCOPA, that responsibility would have just been disintegrated into the various committees, and each chairperson would have had that responsibility of ensuring that public accounts are spent okay. The fact that there was a need at a certain stage to separate and create this, I think there was that understanding, whoever that clever mind was, that you do need this that sits aside.
Comrade Kekane comes in, and I hope I'm not complicating the matters, because you see, when I look at the core objective number one, and I'm trying to think what then should be the strategic objective, I might be limited, but I'm thinking, why maybe we don't need core objective one, because the importance of core objective one is actually to enhance our oversight. So maybe if we can put it as bullet point number three under four, how do we enhance the effectiveness of our work? We improve cooperation with other committees. So it falls in there and not stand alone, because when I look at it, I start thinking activities. That's why I was just talking activities. I don't know.
I think he read my mind, because I was also thinking, what are we trying to establish that is with that cooperation, because definitely it's going to be difficult for us.
Thank you very much, Chair.
I think we've made our first breakthrough. No, we will finish. I think, to be honest, this for me was the one where I thought we'll probably get stuck on for a while. And I think it's important that we needed to unpack that, because the last session, there was a great desire to have this. But I think now that we're now talking around activities and strategic intent, you almost have to look at it separately. And for me personally, I'm not a fan of a lot of objectives. I believe 3-4 max makes sense. I think more than that, I can't remember them as a person. So that's why I am very happy about this. In fact, part of me says we probably will get them to 3, but we are on the journey. I think, can we take a 10-minute just comfort break? Because I think we've been sitting, we've just cracked something, so that at least we can...
This is
your reward. My sweeties at share.
So can we
resume again at about at 11?
If I can't.
If I'm stuck out there, I can't find the people. Because we rely on
others. Yeah, no, that's good.
Right now, I'm getting a set of comments to show you the trend in departments in engineering, especially in departments in engineering. Yeah, so it's like a 5-year review of what they
manage. Manage, in terms of the answer to
the I think, I hope you got
some of the
classified departments in our
Whatever, but as long as we are not recreating Europe in
Africa.
Yeah. There's a reason why we have melanin. And it's cold, and you want to buy nine.
The role that you played there.